God's word speaks to us this morning from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. Every time I pick up the glass of water, there's a Chicago Cub. It's kind of tough to take. But God's word speaks to us from Isaiah chapter 34. We're going to read that chapter together. And this is God's word to us this morning. Come near, you nations, and listen. Pay attention, you peoples. Let the earth hear and all that is in it, the world and all that comes out of it. The Lord is angry with all the nations. His wrath is upon all their armies. He will totally destroy them. He will give them over to slaughter, and their slain will be thrown out. Their dead bodies will send up a stench. The mountains will be soaked with their blood. All the stars of heaven will be dissolved and the sky rolled up like a scroll. And all the starry hosts will fall. And the next two lines, I'm going to use what is read in the Revised Standard Version rather than the NIV. All the starry hosts will fall as leaves fall from a vine, like leaves falling from a tree. My sword has drunk its fill with heaven, in the heavens. See, it descends in judgment on Edom, the people I have totally destroyed. The sword of the Lord is bathed in blood. It is covered with fat, the blood of lambs and goats, fat from the kidneys of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Boaz, Borah, and a great slaughter in Edom. And the wild oxen will fall with them, the bull calves and the great bulls. Their land will be drenched with blood, and their dust will be soaked with fat. For the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of retribution to uphold Zion's cause. Edom's streams will be turned into pitch, her dust into burning sulfur. Her land will become blazing pitch. It will not be quenched night and day. Its smoke will rise forever. From generation to generation, it will lie desolate. No one will ever pass through it again. The desert owl and the screech owl will possess it. The great owl and the raven will nest there. God will stretch out over Edom the meaning line of chaos and the plumb line of desolation. Her nobles will have nothing there to be called a kingdom. All her princes will vanish away. Thorns will overrun her citadels, needles and brambles her strongholds. She will become a haunt for jackals, a home for owls. Desert creatures will meet with hyenas, and wild goats will bleat to each other. There the night creatures will also repose and find for themselves places of rest. And the owl will nest there and lay eggs. She will hatch them and care for her young under the shadow of her wings. There also the falcons will gather, each with its mate. Look in the scroll of the Lord and read. Nothing of these will be missing, not one will lack her mate. For it is his mouth that has given the order, and his spirit will gather them together. He allots their portions. His hand distributes them by measure. They will possess it forever and dwell there from generation to generation. This is God's word. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you think of when you see the autumn leaves? No doubt we appreciate the great beauty that occurs when they begin to change and when fall is here in its full. But are we aware that in Scripture the leaves are used for some valuable lessons? The Bible has a lesson for us from a fallen leaf, a wind-driven leaf, a withered leaf, and an evergreen leaf. Today, this morning, we're going to focus on the fallen leaf. Now, when thinking about the fallen leaf, some of us think about the mess that they are going to make in our yards and the hard work that it's going to take to rake them all up. Our children are thinking about the good time that they're going to have when they can play in these big, soft, raked up leaves, these big piles of raked up leaves. Environmentalists begin to cringe because in some areas they are still burning leaves, and so the smoke will take care of the fresh air. But few of us think about the fate of each leaf as it falls to the ground. It takes a dog to remind us of the tragedy involved for each leaf that falls. And that dog, of course, is Snoopy in the cartoon strip Peanuts. I recall one comic strip in which Snoopy is sitting under a tree and he watches that first leaf flutter to the ground. And in dog thoughts, he says to himself, "Well, the first falling leaf of the season, the first leaf to make the courageous leap, the first leaf to depart from home, the first leaf to plunge into the unknown." Noble words, to say the least. But then the tragedy hits Snoopy, and he realizes as he walks away, the first leaf to die. In another strip, Snoopy says to one fallen leaf, "You don't know it yet, but your troubles are just beginning." How true. A fallen leaf, which at one time was alive and green and providing food for the tree, is now destined for the flames of a burning pile. Contemplating the fate of an autumn leaf that has fallen from the tree, Snoopy, with great sympathy, as well as with recognizing that somehow this fallen leaf depicts life and death of all living things, says, "I'm going to have to stop watching the leaves fall. I get so depressed, I can't sleep at night." Perhaps we could accuse Snoopy of being a little too sympathetic or sensitive, but you know, his depression is not so difficult to understand when we realize that the Bible uses the fallen leaf as an image of judgment, as an image of what will happen to those who die apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Or as we see here in Isaiah 34, the fallen leaf is an image of the day of God's vengeance and the end of the nations of the world. It is this latter lesson that I wish to focus our attention on this morning. The lesson of the fallen leaf is a lesson that all must hear. In fact, Isaiah sends forth this cry, "Come near, O nations, listen and pay attention, you people. Let the earth hear and all that is in it, the world and all that comes out of it." You see, so important, so significant is the message of this prophet that the heathen nations, together with the entirety of the earth and all of its inhabitants, everything, must draw near to the prophet in order to hear what God is about to say, for he is going to speak of judgment. He's going to speak of judgment upon the nations. That's why all the earth must listen. The lesson of the fallen leaf is greater than just for our ears, and it is too important to be contained within these walls. Somehow, this message of the prophet has to reach our nation and all the nations of the world. Now, the reason for Isaiah's urgent summon to the world is the fact that the Lord is angry with all the nations and his wrath is upon all their armies. A few years ago, the United Nations celebrated their 50th anniversary. And leaders from all the nations of the world gathered in New York City. Obviously, there was intense security. Streets were shut down, a blockade in the harbor. Sharpshooters were on rooftops. Jet fighters were in the sky. And as I understand it, there were more than 200 leaders, and each of them were given 5 minutes to say something to the assembly. Many used their time to rebuke, or to threaten, or to boast, or to challenge the other nations of the world. But you have to understand, there was no prophet of God there. There was no one to remind all the nations of the world that the leaves were falling from the trees and that every leaf says, God is angry with you. God is angry with your pride and with your petty babblings and with your destructive wars. He is tired and angry with your wickedness. Someone should have been there to say, someday, all of you, including you, China, including you, Germany, including you, Russia, including you, Iraq, including you, the United States of America, all of you will be gone. You will fall like a leaf, for God is angry, and he has doomed the nations of the world. Some of you who have said, we are powerful, will find that you are powerless before the power of God. To help us to understand the full impact of the day of the Lord's vengeance, Isaiah chooses the nation of Edom as an example. Now, one would wonder why Edom was chosen to be an example of God, how God has doomed the nations of the world. For after all, he had Egypt or Babylon to choose from. I mean, those were nations that had destroyed and devastated the known world of that time with their first fierce army. I mean, these were nations whose king had dared to stand before the living God and challenge him. I mean, such arrogance. And these were nations whose godlessness and immorality and cruelty and vast power are recorded in history. So why didn't Isaiah choose one of them to be an example to the rest of the nations of the world concerning the seriousness of God's anger? Why did he choose Edom? Edom, unlike the others, was never a very prominent nation. I mean, it never reached the height, the power of Egypt or Babylon or even Israel. Edom remained somewhat small and insignificant. So one would have thought that because of their lackluster history, it would have been ruled out as an example to the world. The world probably really would have been far more impressed with the anger of the Lord if God had brought Babylon to its knees at the height of its power. But no, he uses Edom as a reason or an example. There's two reasons why Isaiah used Edom. First of all, that Edom was typical of all the nations in its sinfulness. It was a godless nation. It was a very wicked nation. They practiced idolatry, religious prostitution, child sacrifice, and all the vices that you can probably imagine in a heathen nation. But it also was a nation that trusted in its own power and the strength of its defenses. You know, Edom was located high up in a mountain on a rocky plateau. And many nations would not even attempt to try to reach Edom to defeat it. So as the larger nation passed them by for easier targets, the Edomites would swell with pride, sometimes even boasting that God himself could not reach them. And adding to their stupidity, they put their trust in the wisdom of their leaders and in the strength of their mighty men. Somehow they believed that their future was secure because their nation was not without men of wisdom and strength. And together with the treaties that these men had made with other allies, they thought that they would be undefeated. If another nation would attack them, they would bind together and then drive them off. So Edom was typical of not only the nations at that time, but sad to say, typical of the nations today, who are putting so much faith and so much trust in themselves and in their armies and in their alliances, and forgetting, of course, that cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes his flesh his arm. Excuse me. I hope that helps. The second reason is that Edom was a nation that descended from Esau, the oldest son of Isaac, and therefore a twin brother of Jacob. In other words, the Edomites were really brothers to the Israelites, God's chosen people. They had the same father. So one would think that for that reason, God would show them mercy, shower them with his love. For after all, they were blood brothers with Israel. But instead of it, it was for that very reason that God chose them to be an example of the severity of his anger. In the book of Obadiah, we find the cause of God's wrath against Edom. And I quote, "For the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever." So the history of Edom is one of hatred, indignation, violence, and desecration against the nation of Israel. And Edom had ambushed Israel in the wilderness. Edom had raided their cities when they were settled in the promised land, and every chance it had, it would desecrate the holy mount of Zion. And for that reason, Edom becomes like the first falling leaf. All that is alive in Edom would die. All that was flourishing, prospering, those things that were even beautiful and colorful in its own way would be destroyed, becoming so waste, so desolate, so uninhabitable that Edom would be called no kingdom there. So if God no longer has mercy, even for the brother of Jacob, then the earth must hear, and the nations of the world must listen. For this is the message to our world. Edom stands here as a representative of all the powers that are hostile to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a brother to Israel, which scoffed and ridiculed and persecuted and desecrated that which is holy, the people of God and the Word of God. And in that, Edom is like the other nations of the world today. For God's vengeance is upon all the nations of the world, and they shall fall like leaves from the vine, like leaves from a fig tree. So listen, America. And you too, Russia. And you, China. And of course, all the nations of the Mideast, including Israel. You scoff and you ignore the true God. You put your trust in your weapons, armies and mighty men. You put more faith in your treaties and agreements and world councils rather than God. And you allow your godlessness to deepen and your wickedness to flourish. And you persecute the people of God. And you simply tolerate the church as you would tolerate a sore. Look at the leaves this day and realize that they are falling. And that is your fate. All the nations of the world shall fall. All of them, because God is angry. He would not even spare the brother of his chosen. He shall not spare you, America, nor you, Russia, nor you, China. For the day of the Lord will come, no matter how powerful you think you are. And when the judgment of God blows upon you, you shall fall like the leaves from a vine, the leaves from a fig tree. Well, you can now place me in the same category as those other doomsday preachers. For really, there is no hope for any nation in the world. But God has not doomed all kingdoms. There is a kingdom with no land, a kingdom with no fierce army, fitted with weapons of destruction. There is a kingdom that loves the Lord. You can be a part of that kingdom when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is its King. And when you do that, you will have no fear. No fear at all of the day of the Lord. Rather, when it comes, His mercy will embrace you, and His love will cover you. And if you are part of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be safe, and you will enter an eternal kingdom. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35, the chapter that follows the one we read together. And listen to how God describes the kingdom that you can be a part of. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like a crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. So strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. And then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And then there will be the lame that leap like a deer, a mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Holy Way. The clean will not journey upon it. It will not be for those who walk. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ferocious beasts get upon it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransom of God will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will cloud their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. All the nations will be ended. But our kingdom, the kingdom of the Lord, is eternal with these blessings. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray together. Father, it's a hard message. It's one that should be heard beyond these walls. But Father, we know that someday you will come and bring an end to all the nations of the world, including our own. And so, Father, let us hear the words of the prophet so that we will not be afraid, for we know and understand your plan that when we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, we become a part of a kingdom that has no end and is filled with all the good blessings that you give to your people. Thank you for that assurance, and we do look forward, indeed, Lord, come Come quickly. Amen.